Good evening and welcome to the Board of Directors meeting for the Oceano Community Services District for August 8th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. Would anyone like to address the board at this time?
Dale yeah. Clegg, Peacock Place. My water bill is higher and higher. I understand why it's going up. My neighbor's water bill is $480 since she found out she had a leak. And so that's that. But I checked all mine for leaks, and my lawn's burning up. It's just terrible. I can't believe where in the hell all this money's going, and we're getting dirty water. I got a bucket I brought, and you ought to see that bucket. I keep it outside for the cat and the dog and peacocks, and that bucket is blacker than these speakers or whatever they are. First of all, I want to commend the city manager for finally getting in touch with somebody to clean that mess up down on Highway 1. There's still two rigs left down there, but it looks a lot better. It was really getting to be a junk pile, as I'm sure you guys all notice. You drive around a lot, don't you? I am concerned about the streets in Oceano. I wonder how the fire truck gets down there once in a while, because there's so many cars parked all over. The alleys the same way, they're full of junk. It seems like every time I come down here, I'm just a big bitcher, and you probably get tired of hearing it. But I just wonder, you know, where things are going. I wondered where the money was going for the retrofit, all of this money that we're paying out for our water bill and sewage. That was explained to me a few minutes ago by Pamela. Let's see, what else can I bitch about? The water, for one thing, this bucket, if you'd like to see it, I have it out in my car. I emptied it out and brought it so you could see it. But I don't drink water out of my faucet. I drink it out of the refrigerator. It has a filter on it, but it's pretty bad. And I just...
In terms of the water bill, I sympathize with you. That is partly the Lopez remediation and the cost of commodity water. I think at the last meeting, Director Dahl commented that he was discouraged that we have no funds going into reserves at this point. And for the water and sewer, due to our budgeting, it's very tight. Having additional reserves, we looked at the budget very closely to make sure that everything was as reasonable as could be achieved, and we ended up without putting any money into reserves, which again, Director Dahl brought up the point, but having additional money to go into reserves would require the district to raise your rates yet again. So it's by operating at our budget level, where at least the money is going into your savings rather than the district's accounts.
In the paper a while back, I read where we're in a water contract with the Nassimino Dam somehow.
That was a...
Didn't we pay in to get into that a long time ago?
No.
Well,
there was a proposal.
Small
that was
line. There was something about a small line that wasn't big enough to carry enough water to supply Grover and Arroyo Grande and Oceano. I was reading something in the paper about it, and I thought, what are we doing giving water to them? I mean, why didn't they join it in the first place? Are we selling any water at all to either one of those places?
Not yet.
Are we providing sewage? Is our sewer plant taking care of Grover and Roy Grandy?
The sewer plant is a separate district that is partly owned by Oceano, partly by Grover Beach, and partly by Arroyo Grande.
Mm-hmm.
So the cities each have their own collection systems, and the sanitation district is a separate district, a separate entity.
I don't know. I don't know how a lot of these people in Oceano are affording to pay their water and sewage bills. I really don't. I don't know what they're doing. Are they flushing their toilets? Or, you know, I know what we're doing. We're water bill.
We share your pain. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none brings us to item number 4, board member items for discussion. I'd like to start out by welcoming Pat O'Reilly, our new general manager. Pat, it's a delight to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Happy that you're here.
Thanks.
And glad to see you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Good deal. And also, I'd like to thank Arnie Dowdy for his service in the interim to the district. He's on a well-deserved vacation, so we'll look forward to seeing him back. But glad to have you here, Pat.
Thank you.
Other board comment, Vern?
I'd just like to echo welcome.
Thank you.
Nothing right now.
Yes, and another echo.
Thank you very much.
And again, welcome.
Thanks.
And one more thing. I have, we have a lady in the audience, Mary Williams, who has been waiting for a street light for a very long time, like almost 5 years. We did put the street lighting in the budget, and I would like to get that agendized or in our special meeting or do something, figure out some way to get that street light installed for her so that she doesn't have to wait any longer. And I also want to give Doug Hamp the accolade for getting all of those cars moved from that lot. He was the one who was instrumental in doing that for us, and we thank him so much.
Sure.
This is the person you need to thank for that. Okay.
I'd just like to mention that the Oceano Airport Master Plan has just come out, and the airport's here in Oceano. This affects Oceano. Airport's a good thing for Oceano, but there are some changes being made down there that the residents of Oceano should probably take a look at. There's some growth issues down there. Not all of them are bad. I don't have any complaints about any of them, actually. But it's well put together. I haven't had a complete chance to review this. I believe it's going to be online, or is online. And I believe we're having
from noon till 9, but I don't know what time the public session is. I believe it's later in the afternoon.
That's good.
Okay, thank you for that. Brings us to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes. We have 3 tonight, from July 11th, July 16th, and July 18th. Any comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public? Hearing none.
We accept the minutes as presented.
I would second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of July 11th, July 16th, and July 18th as presented. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously.
Mr. Dowdy said that he will be happy to finish the 23rd and 25th minutes when he returns.
We'll hold him to that.
Mm-hmm.
Item number 6, reports. We have Commander Martin Basti, Commander of the Sheriff's South Station. Welcome.
Thank
Thank you, President Hill, members of the board, staff, and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. I, too, would like to welcome Mr. O'Reilly. And we're here on your first meeting of the month to act as a liaison and to tailor our services what the community needs. But anytime in between, you're more than welcome to call if there's any issues that arise that we can assist with.
Okay.
And we're right next door, and you own the building, so we're not going anywhere. A couple of things. We made two more arrests for graffiti. One was in progress. It was painting in the alleyway. We wrote 14 citations for illegal camping. And if you notice, the creek, both entrances all the way up and down, have been posted by the county with the correct ordinances for trespassing, dumping, and the operation of motor vehicles. That will greatly assist us. We did a sweep of the creek and issued the citations and stuff. So now we have the posted authority to go and take care of the vehicles that occasionally go up there that don't belong, that don't have written permission. And under the county ordinance, it requires written permission within 6 months of the property owner to operate the vehicle. Without it, it's a misdemeanor citation for the county ordinance. So it's posted. Let's keep our fingers crossed that the signs stay there. We did recommend Shiano School. Tomorrow you'll see a special kickoff for Avoid the 14. We're doing a special. Usually it's during the holiday season, Thanksgiving to Christmas. This year it's starting in Labor Day because of the number of deaths and alcohol-related issues around Labor Day, the last big hurrah weekend before school starts. So you'll see the big kickoff between now and Labor Day of additional patrols for the purpose of taking care of intoxicated drivers, taking them off the street before they hurt somebody. So don't be caught. And other than that, we hired 8 more deputies to backfill the retirements and the grant positions. They'll start the academy next week, and we'll see them on the street in December. Other than that, the only other thing is last month there was an issue over by the park, people going in and out of the bushes with suspicious activities. I recommended that somebody call me when it's occurring, and that happened. The deputy went over there and made 3 arrests for narcotics violations. So it is a prime example of the community helping us with eyes and ears and letting us know where the problems are, and then our staff being able to tailor to the problem. So a success. So if we get the message out, they'll quit using those bushes between there and the state park, and the neighborhood will go back to normal. So I want to extend my appreciation to those folks that do call and do listen and help us out. With that, any questions or...
Questions or comments from the board? I'd also like to personally thank you for the increased patrols, and I know you've had a number of vehicles parked illegally more than 72 hours, that sort of thing, and the officers have been following up on that and cooperating with the Highway Patrol also, so we appreciate that very much.
And the good news is you only had a couple of weeks, and then summer will go away, and it'll go back to almost normal.
Any comment or questions from the public for the commander? Well, with that, we have a resolution that I would like to present to you. This is our OCSD resolution number 2007-11, a resolution commending Master Commander Martin J. Basti for distinguished service to the community of Oceana. Whereas the Oceana Community Services District has been blessed during the past year with very stellar assets, it's hoped that this relationship with Commander Martin J. Basti and the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department will be continual and long-lasting. Therefore, be it resolved that members of the Board of Directors of OCSD does hereby extend our appreciation to Commander Martin J. Basti and the members of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department, and also does recognize them for being very special members of the district.
Thank you. Board members, thank you very much, and I'm much appreciative that you also mention my staff, because I may be their leader, but it's actually the staff that is actually out there, well, you know, all day, all night, 7 days a week, much like your emergency services with your fire department, they're there to serve. So we much appreciate the recognition, and it will be a long lasting. We also extend our appreciation to the board for the feedback because it greatly assists us in being able to protect the citizens. So it's that joint effort, and it's much appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you to you and all of your staff.
I will certainly share with them. Thank you.
Okay, item number six, we have no reports available this evening. Those will be on the next agenda. So with that, we'll move on to item seven, fire items. I understand there's none tonight. Brings us to item number eight, utility items. The first one is our ongoing cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. That one's a really quick one usually, so I guess we'll go ahead and do that. I think the board is pretty well aware of this one. Is there any comment or questions? Any comment or questions on this from the public? If not, then we'll look for a motion.
I move that we continue the emergency cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we continue the emergency declared following the San Simeon earthquake. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B is a presentation by Mark Hutchinson from San Luis Obispo County.
Mr. Riley, Mr. President and members of the board, I am Mark Hutchinson. I am the Environmental Programs Manager for the San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works. I do have a brief as I can make it, PowerPoint presentation. Before I begin, I have copies of that presentation for your board and secretary. And I also have about six copies for the audience, anyone who wants to follow along. I'll pass these out. These, of course, are free, although we are collecting donations for a certain wastewater project over on the coast. You can forward that funding to Supervisor Shajian, who I'm sure will get it to the right place. I've also recently discovered that my really fancy slide advancing thing does not work. So I'll have to maybe beg your attorney there to click the slides forward if we can. First, I have to preface my presentation by backing up a little bit and defining the term stormwater. Up until 1999, when we said stormwater, we meant water that fell out of the sky and ran down the street and went wherever it went. But as of 1999, the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C. gave us a definition of stormwater, or basically guidelines, and said from henceforth that particular term shall apply to the quality of waters that originates as rain. So, unfortunately, I may disappoint you. I'm not talking about drainage, and I'm not talking about flooding. This is purely a water quality program that we're talking about here. I'm going to give you hit the slide to just the right click. Oops. This should advance the other button. There you go. Left click, whatever it is. I think we went two right there, but I'm going to give you the background to what we're talking about tonight. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what the stormwater management program is all about, and then we'll focus in on the current element of it, which is an ordinance that we are preparing pursuant to that requirement to have a stormwater program. The story starts off in actually 1972 with the passage of the Federal Clean Water Act. Most of us have a basic understanding of what that was all about. But more expressly in 19. Now, there's some contradictions in that when you get into the details, but they drew the line where they drew it. One of the sources of water pollution is urban runoff. And in fact, in many large cities, the number one source of pollution, once we got the industrial plants and commercial uses all permitted and with water treatment plants across the United States, the number one source of water pollution is actually runoff from urban areas. Simply the water that falls on roofs and streets, runs down the gutter and into the pipe and out into the creek. or in our case, some places out into the ocean. So in 1990, the Environmental Protection Agency, with some prompting from litigation, put forth something called a Phase 1 final rule for urban stormwater programs. Phase 1 communities were those with populations of over 100,000 people. They were required to develop what were called urban runoff programs. So essentially programs designed to clean up the runoff from our urban areas, that non-point source pollution. In our Central Coast area, the only city or entity that was subject to that was the city of Salinas, there in the Regional Water Quality Control Board Central Coast region. But in 1999, EPA came out with the Phase 2 final rule and dropped the threshold from 100,000 population to 10,000 population, and didn't limit that definition of 10,000 to certain city or district boundaries, but looked at what the federal census calls urbanized areas. They basically took the census maps and looked at where there are groups of people that came together and formulated populations of over 10,000. They also had the ability to extend the requirement to population centers that discharge to what they called sensitive water bodies, which there are none in San Luis Obispo County except for one. The result of that essentially is that within our county, all seven cities, Cal Poly, Caltrans, all the school districts, and the county itself are required to produce something called a stormwater management program. If you could hit the button. So we have developed, oh, by the way, the coverage area is rather interesting. For the county, it's a funny map that looks like a lot of donuts scattered across. We have the fringe around Paso Robles and the fringe around Atascadero. We have the fringe around the five cities areas with Napomo. They added Los Osos because it discharges into the bay. They added Cambria because it discharges into the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. So the county, realizing that we were sort of the filler between all the other entities, has been leading a coalition called, Coalition for Clean Water in San Luis Obispo County. We have required minimum measures. I define that as program areas, because when you first read through this rule, which is about 300 to 600 pages, something like that, you get the wrong idea when it says minimum measures. It sounds like you have to do six minimum things. What they said is, what they really meant was, at a minimum, you must do these six things. And they gave the states, by the way, the ability to add additional stuff, which, of course, the state of California added a few things. And then the regional board in our area also added a few more things. But those six basic areas that our stormwater management program operates in are on the board. We have public education and outreach. I have to ask if anybody here has heard or seen of something called Sammy the Steelhead. Maybe a TV commercial with some fish on it, that kind of thing. That is the, we call that the spokesfish for the urban stormwater management program. You'll be seeing more of Sammy the Steelhead, both on TV and live in person at certain community events. We have a public participation and involvement component that we're required to develop. That means we have to have the public involved. So we will be doing presentations in any school that will let us in the door. In the North County, we have Boy Scouts putting those stickers on the storm drains that says dump no waste, that kind of thing. That's part of the public participation component. We have something called illicit discharge detection and elimination. Illicit simply means discharges that aren't supposed to be there. We'll talk more about that tonight in focus. And then those of you in construction will recognize 4 and 5. Those are construction site runoff controls. Currently, the state of California runs a very strict program for stormwater pollution prevention plans for construction sites. That program is due to be handed off to local entities that have approved programs. The county is one of those. Essentially, the state's handing their responsibility off to local agencies with a very detailed requirements for what it has to contain. There's a post-construction stormwater management. I have to stop there. That one does involve new ways of doing things. Interestingly, some of the ways the county has done stuff for years is exactly parallel to that. We will be implementing new ordinances that go towards something called low-impact development, which is techniques for new development that seek to reduce the actual runoff that comes off the property. I said the program wasn't about drainage or flooding, but this component recognizes that if you can reduce drainage and flooding, you can reduce a whole lot of water quality problems. So there'll be new stuff coming down the pipe and probably more presentations on that. And then lo and behold, in number 6, they also expect the county itself to change the way we do things, which is one of the funnest parts. So you will see our roads really dirty and sweep those more often. That doesn't sound a lot, but it's up from zero right now, so it does signal some progress. Next slide, please. Three of these six minimum areas produce or require us to produce and implement new ordinances. I know everybody likes to hear that. New laws on the books. Number three, we'll talk about that tonight, is an entirely new concept starting from scratch. Four and five are essentially modifications, in some cases substantial modifications to existing ordinances. We certainly have in our building and construction an erosion control ordinance for what builders have to do. But compared to what the state standard is, we have a long, long way to go. But we do have a couple of years to get those together. Next slide. So illicit discharge detection elimination, that's going to be our focus tonight. By the way, I've just given you a 10-minute introduction to a program that took me, a professional 20-year bureaucrat, only 6 months to even begin to figure out. This is an amazing set of bureaucratic rules and regulations that takes a long time to wade through and try to figure out what actually applies and what doesn't. So tonight, I want to introduce you to the illicit discharge detection elimination ordinance and give you an idea what that's about. So if you could go to the next one. Where are we at? Oh, under illicit discharge detection elimination, the rule, the headings of the major discussion says we have to do these five things. We have to do a storm drain system map. Sounds easy, doesn't it? You go down to the roads guys and you get a copy of the map that shows where all the storm drain pipes are. I got a lot of chuckles from those guys on that one. So we are out in the field. We've been out for 2 years now with small amounts of budget money doing GIS mapping of our storm drain systems. Like everybody else, we have to do that electronically because our utility people and even our roads people want to add their layers to that so that we can figure out where all the stuff we're maintaining actually is. It's interesting when you go to other communities and talk to their storm drain or stormwater coordinators about the mapping effort. Everyone in California is in the same boat. And some agencies are discovering some interesting things, like very large pipes that feed into very small pipes, or very large pipes that disappear under the city and no one knows where it goes. Those kinds of things are rampant throughout California. But we're working on that. We have to have this ordinance that we'll talk about. We have to have a plan to detect and address non-stormwater discharges into the storm drain system. That goes hand in hand with the ordinance. We have to educate our employees, business, and public. That links back to the public education. We have to prohibit non-stormwater discharges into the storm drain system and implement appropriate enforcement procedures and actions. The last, and implement. Somebody in Washington, D.C. figured out what we were about, I think. For a long time, we've gotten direction from state and federal government to write new laws, but nobody's ever said we had to enforce it. That was a budget question. This one explicitly requires enforcement and has affected the county's budget as we look to how we're going to comply with that mandate. Storm drain system. Well, let's back up a little bit. Next slide. Where's this going to apply? So I don't panic everybody. This is going to be unincorporated areas of the county. It does not apply in cities yet. Doesn't apply at Caltrans facilities yet. We expect that if the county adopts this ordinance that it creates certain expectations on other jurisdictions. One of the reasons we work with the cities is we try not to do things that set them up for failure in the future or some of the special districts that we work with. So we're talking about unincorporated areas. It applies to discharges to something called the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. And it may apply to natural streams. I'll talk a little bit about that later. Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System comes right out of the EPA language. A little bit misleading. That's an East Coast term. Nobody on the West Coast says storm sewers. We say storm drains. And if you ever get on the web and start reading about this, you're going to see the term MS4 bandied about. And I have to confess, it did take me about 3 months to figure out what the heck an MS4 was. That's the way the feds talk, I guess. There's four S's, Separate Storm Sewer System. That's pretty tricky. Next slide. So key objectives, well, we got to regulate contribution of pollutants to the storm drain system, prohibit illicit connections, and protect urban waterways from pollution. Next slide. This is where it gets tricky. MS4. We've all been thinking the storm drain system starts where there's a grate in front of the sidewalk, goes down into a pipe, and the pipe is the storm drain system. This is where you got to watch the federal government closely, because they've defined that for us, and it's up there on the board. Well, that system also includes the road that the drainage system is in. It includes the street itself, catch basins, that's normal curbs, that sounds good, gutters. So it's not just the pipe underground, it's the curb and gutter, or the ditch in our case, any man-made channel, essentially a storm drain designed or used for collecting or conveying stormwater. Now this gets water that fell as rain or snow, runs off the roof of the driveway, doesn't get too dirty and runs out in the street. That's the only thing that's allowed in the street. And if you don't think too deeply, you're thinking, well, you know, so it's illegal to dump oil down the drain. Nobody does that, or trash or dirt in the gutter. Shouldn't be doing that. But then you realize there's a lot of other things that we use the storm drain system for. And we have these exceptions built into the rule. So it says at the federal level, it's okay to put these things in the street. But the federal government said to the states, if you find a problem, a water quality problem with any of these items, then it's not okay to put them in the street. State of California identified a couple and took them off the list, handed it off to the 9 regional boards, and then said, as you approve the individual storm water management programs, look at each jurisdiction, and if you identify a water quality program or problem associated with any of these discharges, you must eliminate it as an exception. And then the regional boards in California, especially Southern California, start studying the true water quality impacts of these what we'll call dry weather discharges when they happen in the summer. And I have to do this myself. I'll show you what happened to the exceptions.
As they start doing the studies, the exceptions started doing this. Now, after some tense negotiations with the regional board, we did manage to get them to allow these three. They've handed us a mandate to write an ordinance that says you can't put anything in the front of your, in the gutter in front of your house or your business, except for clean stormwater, but you are allowed to let the fire department have their water run into the street, and believe it or not, that was a fight at the regional board. If you get a permit from the state to dump it into the street, you can do it. And number three is a new county invention, a way to make the ordinance work at all. Because we understand that there are situations where there's water that runs off your property that you simply cannot do anything else with. That trying to strictly enforce an ordinance like this would be overwhelming and ridiculous. But I do have to stop. Next slide. Oops. Things do cause problems. Obviously, drinking water contains chlorine. At levels that are safe for human beings but not good for animals in the creek, which is what's at the end of the storm drain pipe. Irrigation runoff typically contains pesticides and fertilizers, sediment, which is dirt. They've tested this water and found out that what we used to call a mud puddle in front of the house has metals, fungicides, sulfates, total dissolved solids, nitrates. In the northern part of our county, some of that water is, in fact, radioactive. There's detergents. And then coliforms and bacteria. You will hear water quality people talk about something called the first flush phenomenon. That's where the first big rain of the season washes down the streets and roads, and it roars out on the beach, and then we get beach closures. And the assumption was that all the bacteria that's been laying around on the sidewalk gets washed into the ocean and causes pollution. Turns out when the scientists really started looking at it, there was more bacteria than that would account for. And the situation we find is that when I overwater my lawn, the water runs down the side, across the sidewalk, down the gutter, picks up various amounts of bacteria from pets, birds, whatever, finds a low spot in the storm drain system or a low spot in the gutter, and stops flowing. Or it flows into the creek, which would normally be dry, and creates what we used to think was a nice summer wetland. But the water in those spots is subject to warm weather. It's Southern California. The sun shines on it. The bacteria growth is exponential and goes over the top of the scale. And then when it does rain, extremely toxic water gets washed down the creek and into the ocean. So the regional board has the science to back it up.
they're not quite sure how to practically deal with it, and so they've added it off to the county to figure out how to deal with that in an ordinance. Next slide. So we have this. Even the Telegram Tribune is on board with stormwater, even they don't know it. Hopefully you can see that cartoon. I put that up there while I talk about the serious stuff in the ordinance. What we've done within our ordinance, and I should have this out on the street within the next 2 weeks, I hope, posted on our website. I'll certainly forward a copy to your staff so they can show you what it looks like. First off, we have the district attorney on our team who's talking about how to go about enforcing an ordinance like this. He likes to describe an ordinance with a zero threshold for violation as like the traffic law that says we have to actually stop at the stop sign with the bumper behind the line. The wheel must stop fully with the bumper behind the line, or else we've taken approach as to what the true problems of this are. I do like to say, and it keys in with your public comment this morning, I don't actually believe that over-irrigation is going to be a problem much longer anywhere in the county, because water rates are going to the point where I think if my neighbor overwaters his lawn, I may go out with a sponge and collect the water before the county can come catch him doing it and use it on my own garden. It's getting to be that expensive. But we would intend to focus public education on the typical quote-unquote violations that go along. We will be working with the county code enforcement people, and the focus there is unfortunately going to be on commercial and industrial uses. We've discovered that through informal contacts, there are a number of commercial and industrial facilities that dispose of waste by dumping it into the nearest stream or gutter. We've talked to many people about that and gotten very good cooperation without even having an ordinance or threat of enforcement. The education materials that we have also show people good and efficient ways, alternative ways to deal with that water. But recognizing that for some situations, there's just no way to get rid of that water, we are modifying what we call our road encroachment permit process, the simplest one we have, to be able to add a stormwater discharge permit to it so that folks don't get an undue impact to their homes or businesses. And when you get a chance to read through the ordinance, you'll see how that works. Tried to find the simplest thing for all concerned so we don't get in some big overblown permit process. Something as basic as we can do. So next slide. So back to our expected outcomes. We hope to truly enhance public health and safety. I do have to point out I was at a presentation, I think, at the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, that or the Grover Beach City Council. It was in Grover Beach's City Hall anyway. I followed the health department. They were doing a presentation on West Nile virus and mosquitoes. And they have a lot of pictures, you know, of buckets with water and tires with water. And then they had a lot of pictures of streets with gutters, low spots in the gutters holding water. And they've identified that as one of the major hazards for West Nile virus. So we get two with one shot anyway. We avoid stormwater violations and don't grow mosquitoes, hopefully. We hope to see water quality improvements. And most importantly, perhaps from the county's perspective, we are under mandate to comply with the regulations issued by the state and the federal government. The county faces fines of $10,000 a day for failing to fully implement the programs on my desk. I'm waiting for one more approval on a notice from the attorney so we can get that out to the public. It requires a 30-day minimum. We're going to do a 60-day minimum at the shortest. It could be longer than that. We've been making contacts with the development industry about how in the world we can build new houses in Cayucas and Cambria on hillside lots that generate natural springs and not have the person end up without a house there. So we're working with them on techniques to make this work. Hope to be at the board with an introductory hearing perhaps as early as October, and the ordinance would go into effect as soon as the board approves it. Our schedule from the state says we need to have it done before next March, and we're on a schedule to do that. Next slide. And the Telegram Tribune keeps giving me more information. My contact information is on the left. My email is there. On the right are some interesting websites. The one at the top is the county stormwater website. You can read our entire 350-page program if you like. Best to go to Chapter 4, and you can skim the actual measures that we're going to do and what year we're going to do them. So if you look at the stormwater program, Chapter 4 is where you want to start. The next one is interesting, CASQA. CASQA is the California Association of Stormwater Quality Agencies. That's the actual regulated communities. That's the cities and counties and special districts that have been ordered to produce stormwater programs have formed our own association. The county is a member. And that's where we get ideas for new ordinances, where we get best management practice manuals, where we get explanations, education, training programs, whatever we need to comply with this mandate. Then, of course, the state site, State Water Resources Control Board. You can see what the actual state mandates are like. And then the funny one at the bottom is the Environmental Protection Agency. Buried deep in their site is a stormwater site. And then we have the cartoon with the street sweeper, the stranger cleaning up the town. Some of this is as easy as sweeping the streets more often than we used to. Apologize for taking that much time. With that, I'll answer any questions or attempt to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mark. First of all, questions from the board? Comments?
Comment. I just want to thank you for coming and to inform all of us and the people in the public who happen to be watching this. I know it's been, you know, I've been aware of it coming up from previous presentation that you've done, and I thought it was very important to have you down here, and I thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We need to start looking at those kinds of things that we use in our homes and our yards and not put those out there. I don't use pesticides in my yard. I use soap to kill certain things and bugs. I guess this is going to be a long haul for all of us, and thank you for coming and the beginning explanation for this.
It is a bit overwhelming. I should point out that there's a program called Our Water, Our World, which talks about more environmentally sensitive cleaning projects and garden products, and we have displays in most of the Orchard Hardware stores in the county. There's booklets and pamphlets that you can take. And Orchard actually displays that rather prominently. They're blue, full-size, you can look for. Okay. And certainly if you can't find those, you can contact me, and I can connect you with our stormwater coordinator at the county, Ms. Falcone, who can get the materials to you or let you know where they are.
That might be good. We do have a space on our water bills where we can put those kinds of things or let people know that they could come in and pick them up here at the... there's a little notice that you could come pick it up at the office or something like that, but I think maybe it's a start, what we can do for a start.
It's definitely a long haul.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick clarification, I don't think the district has any ordinances in place, and the county ordinance is being prepared. It's complete drafted, ready to be approved. Is this current status of the ordinance? Is that not correct?
Yes, for the county-owned, and that's an interesting question. It would cover the county-owned MS4. So I suppose a person could argue that it would make it a violation to dump the pollutant into the street, but if they dumped it over the fence into the district stormwater basin, the county would say, we don't own the basin. Talk to the CSD. That's one of the details we have to work out. You should also be aware that the state, with the mandate, prepared a list of agencies that they felt should prepare stormwater programs, and they hit four of the CSDs in the county, Oceano being one of them. We've talked to the other CSDs to various degrees. They have different facilities. Certainly no one has the full scope of facilities that the county has, and the state has not yet explained how an agency that has, say, no construction permit authority is supposed to comply with minimum measures that have to do with construction, how it may or may not apply to Oceano, although the source would be the regional board.
I'm sure the federal government provided plenty of funds to implement this, and the state, in their wisdom, also provided plenty of funds to the county and the district to deal with it.
Oh, certainly. You know, the county's budget for this... We have a budget for, we have a general fund budget for coordinating the program through my office. That's going to be equivalent to a full-time person. We have a three-quarter-time person right now. We're adding staff for that. And the county also pays out of the general fund for public education, public participation materials, including TV time. We share that with the other 14 entities that are going to be on board with this. But a lot of these costs will come from redirecting efforts, redirecting other existing funding. I'm certain the planning and building department, if there's a more complicated grading plan, is going to charge more to review it, those kinds of things. We estimated our year one cost, which is our ramp-up year for a five-year implementation, at $2.5 million. Again, a mix of new money, general fund redirection, and additional fees on the public to implement our program. So it's not cheap. It's not the greatest expense, but in these kinds of budgets, it's very difficult to put these things together and keep a lid on the costs. Not that $2.5 million is keeping a lid on it.
It's a very comprehensive mandate. So,
Mark, couple questions. Do you know what we're going to have to do as a district here to comply with this?
We are not sure. You're in a similar situation to a couple of the other districts. We know that Templeton, for instance, has a small drainage fee area and one drainage basin that they maintain. They have a fire department and they have a district office. And Bill Van Orden up there has been working with us on how to mesh their program with the county's program. And I think they've been waiting quite a bit to see if the county's program would ever get approved. You know, we submitted it for approval in March of 2003 when we were required to and went to hearing in March of 2007. So not everybody's as slow as the county. Some people are slower than the county. But Bill has questions that haven't been answered. You know, do they have to have a chapter on municipal operations? It covers one building and one fire department. Certainly they don't have to have a chapter on grading. They don't do grading permits. How are they supposed to do public education?
This MS4 is going to apply only in the county areas? Is that correct? Or
This ordinance would be county areas. Every city, all seven cities in Cal Poly, are required to have their own ordinances saying that you can't put anything in the storm drain except for clean water. And, you know, the concern is that whatever we come out with in the county, if it has, you know, new features like no exceptions, that the other agencies are going to have to follow suit. And it probably would be efficient to not change the rules on folks just because you went across the city or county boundary, as long as we can make the implementation of the ordinance the same across boundaries. And our coalition, again, works very well for that. We call it a coalition because there's no MOUs, no JPAs, no funding commitments. Kind of the common fear, common enemy approach works quite well in this case. It's also a staff-level coalition, so we don't have board meetings and that kind of thing.
Okay. I just wanted to make it clear for everybody that this is something that's going to apply everywhere.
Yeah, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Pismo are named entities, and I know that each of those cities has at least prepared draft stormwater plans.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, how will this affect the Ocean Lagoon that runs off into the ocean? Will there be stuff, treatment, that will have to be done with the water leaving our lagoon?
Not that we're aware of. At this point in time, the state mandate does not include they call water quality standards. So, you know, that's another one. How to explain to my board of supervisors what a measurable goal is without being able to say we're going to reduce coliforms by this or TDS by that. There's two reasons for that. You don't actually go out and test the water. First off, because there are so many sources of pollutants that are not urban in origin, it would be almost impossible to figure out if an increase or decrease is actually due to your program. So here we're spending all this money on a clean water program and literally have no way to prove whether it's effective or not. The other one is, from a scientific perspective, the cost to get the samples, enough samples to be able to tell if something is happening, positive or negative, exceeds the cost of the program at this point. We're told that a comprehensive water quality program that would, over a period of years, that would tell us whether we're being effective or not would cost magnitudes higher than our $2.5 million a year. So at this point, there's talk about the MS4. At the same time, the EPA puts out a host of model ordinances for agencies to work from, and every single ordinance they've blessed extends the
pollution prohibition to natural streams. Our ordinance in its current form limits that to streams in urban areas, simply because we just don't have the will to take on the agriculture community at this point in time. So we think that it's appropriate to say it's it would be a violation to discharge any of these kinds of waste into the stream that runs through any urban area, which would include the Oceana Lagoon. So direct discharge of pollutants would be a violation. But so far, no mandate to do treatment of the lagoon before it overflows into Rio Grande Creek.
And just for clarity, direct discharge of pollutants into the stream would include the chlorine that is in your drinking water coming out of your tap in your house.
Yes. That prohibition, by the way, in a way duplicates a Fish and Game Code provision that Fish and Game Code occasionally enforces. And so the question is, are we stepping into Fish and Game's shoes in a water pollution mode, given that Fish and Game does not have the staff to do anything except respond to the most egregious situations? We think it would probably be beneficial to the community and simpler to just lump them all together. Hmm.
Any other comment or questions?
I have no more.
Okay. Comment or questions from the public? Could you come up to the microphone? Just to
Graywater. I've seen it mentioned on there. And what is it about the county that don't want you dumping graywater?
Let me answer that. Get on the mic so they can record it. Question was about graywater. I guess I should go back. This ordinance applies to putting the gray water actually into the street. So using it on
in the lawn.
Yeah, no problem with using it on your lawn. A permitted gray water system is perfectly acceptable.
Is, on all new construction, I've lived in my house for 6 years, and I'll take a 5 gallon bucket back in the back bedroom. It takes 5 gallons of water to get back there and get hot water. Why doesn't the county make the developers put a circulation? It only costs like $400 or $500 that's added on the new buildings in Oceano. Go in, they can put in something like that to conserve water. I don't know whether you guys' house do the same thing or not, but if I want hot water in the back bedroom, it takes 5 gallons of cold water to get the hot back there, which I'm going to agree with.
I think water conservation is somewhat of a different topic than the stormwater runoff program. But it's
you talked about water that's been treated and there's got thorns in it and it's going down the drain.
Other comment or questions from the public?
Yeah.
Mary?
I appreciate all your work. I know it takes a long time to do stuff like that. What I wanted to ask you is that we fall under an ordinance of, first of all, we have a lot of development going on, which means there's less spaces for collections and more development in those areas, which, you know, creates more of this water, you know, running downhill. And then we fall under the ordinance of the county of, you know, a real hard push for already established residents to put in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. And most of us know that cement isn't very forcible. And so it doesn't leave a lot of room for creative thinkings of affordable cement, which creates more water running down versus, you know, like you mentioned, you know, diversifying, you know, collecting this water basin. So I get a little confused of we're trying to shut, you know, slow the water that's flooding us out on Highway 1 and other places, but still we fall into these other policies that block us from trying to control flood water. Did your study talk about that at
yes.
all? Am I clear?
Yes, very clear. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. First off, it's interesting when you get in the stormwater, we find out. I mentioned BMP's best management practices. One of the things that's difficult for some government agencies, ours included, is that not every solution works in every case. So we like to have a book of standards and apply it everywhere. And then we can be efficient and be done. Nothing in stormwater can be done without thinking about it, is what I like to say. There's a component of this I mentioned for new construction called LID, low impact development, which we are being required to implement by the state. Interestingly, that requirement falls on the county and gardens for the lawn and those kinds of things to try to reduce the amount of runoff. That's a basic LID technique. But it runs counter in some cases to communities that want to have curb gutter and sidewalk to keep flooding out of individual lots and those sorts of things. So some LID techniques work in big urban developments, you know, larger ones. Some work on residential lots, not all residential lots. Depends on the soil and slope. There's a lot of engineering that goes into it. It's a long way of saying, as far as LID goes, we have three what we call LID demonstration projects going on in the county. In Santa Margarita, because of a flooding issue, we combined a new drainage retention basin and are rebuilding some of the ditches through the community. That's a new thing I have to caution you on. We used to call them roadside ditches. Now we call them vegetated swales, which is an LID tech. So vegetated swales. We're rebuilding some in Margarita. Essentially, we're digging the swale up, the ditch up, and putting a layer of gravel underneath and putting some techniques over the top and then putting the dirt back and planting it. The idea is to move the water underground and percolate it more than run it down the street. In Templeton, we're rebuilding about a three-block street that has no curb and gutter, but eroded shoulders, applying low-impact development techniques and combining it with traffic calming that the community wanted. And in Oceano, we have two small drainage projects. I'm sorry, I can't tell you the exact area, but they're on the east of us here, where instead of installing drainage pipes for several blocks to get it over to Rio Grande Creek, they're installing what they call infiltrators. So an underground tank with no bottom in it, with a gravel bed to take at least the first flows. I'm not sure what their calculations are of what level of storm, but instead of the water running down the street, it'll drop into a drop inlet and into spreading basically an underground drainage basin underneath the street. And again, you can't use those everywhere. It depends on the soils, other constraints and costs, maintenance issues. But we're starting to put these things on the ground to see what works best and what we can afford. In some cases, it's cheaper than the traditional put it in the pipe and carry it away approach.
With that system, with what you were talking about there, your first rains have a lot of pollutants in them. Is this going to be an issue for polluting groundwater?
It's certainly a question. In shallow groundwater areas, the techniques don't work. So one of the criticisms
where during rainy season, water will actually run onto people's private property and then run back off. And some of them have even been designed that way. Will this affect those properties?
That's unclear. A lot of cities questioned the regional board about situations where we have creeks that go through, say, somebody else's jurisdiction or a rural area or an agricultural area, and then through a city and out the other side. And the regional board talked about requiring, visible cleanup of the water flowing out of your city. And so we said, well, what about the people flowing water into our city? And their comment was, well, maybe you should go take water quality tests upstream and downstream and prove that you're not polluting. So they've dumped it back in our lap. Now, in an obvious situation where somebody has water traveling through their property, if it's getting dirtier than when it came on, we would show them techniques along with their upstream neighbors how to reduce the amount, but also show the folks that have water passing through and want a better way to deal with it from a water quality perspective. We would start exploring BMPs with them and see how we might better the situation.
I noticed that the Planning Commission has a notice of a hearing tomorrow morning at 8:45 where they're proposing to increase the residential density to 20 units in several areas in the county, 20 units per acre. I think it's like 14 now, something like that. And one of the areas that they may do this is Oceano. Has your office coordinated with them or reviewed any of their projects or their proposals to see how it seems to me that increased density means increased problems with runoff for the most part. So I'm wondering if
It certainly can mean additional challenges. We certainly do work with the planning department. I mentioned the 14-agency coalition. Our stormwater coordinator is also a countywide position, so planning department is a full partner in the county's program. And we work very closely with the staff there that are involved in the smart growth principles, of which this is a part of, and looking at how to have LID and smart growth at the same time, because on the face of it, they seem to be opposites. But it turns out there are LID techniques that work in very high-density areas. I don't have a slideshow for that today, but I can tell you I did do about a two-hour presentation on LID to the Planning Commission. It's kind of fun to be in front of the Planning Commission and not ask them to approve something, practices, and then that raises a list of site questions that need to be answered, and you bring the two together. This is a kind of program that some of those in our engineering community involved in development kind of roll their eyes. And then when I talk at their associations about the need for more engineering, more expertise, you can see the guys in the back starting to, they get to see the dollar signs, which is a little scary. So it's work. It's not off the cuff, but it can work.
Other comment or questions? I guess we'll look forward to having you working with our staff and appreciate the help.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Mike. Okay, that brings us to item 9. The first one is item 9A. I believe this is an error in the interpretation of our new travel policy, which states that any expense not covered by this policy for which reimbursement is requested must be submitted to the general manager for approval by the board and so forth. The item on this 9A is one that is actually covered by this policy. So I believe it's on our agenda in error.
That's correct, President Hill. We, due to my mistake last week, I inadvertently allowed this to be added to the agenda. It should not be on here. It's not. If we follow the procedures in the policy, then it should have been approved by staff.
Okay. So with the board's concurrence, then we'll take this off the agenda?
Yeah, that's my recommendation, sir.
Okay. Item 9B, consideration of resolution 2007-16, honoring Phil Davis for 25 years of service to the district. It's quite an achievement.
Yes, sir. President Hill, members of the board, it's district practice to recognize employees' longevity in various ways. Staff has proposed a resolution to recognize and honor Philip Davis for 25 years of service to the district and 44 years of service to the community in the same capacity. If passed tonight, it can be presented to Phil at the next meeting, the next board meeting. And so staff recommends that you adopt OCSD.
Okay, reports of district representatives, item 10. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on August 1st. The significant items were adoption of a resolution declaring certain equipment surplus. That was specifically a transfer truck and a generator that's followed on to what the board had initially approved. There was a request for service to connect into one of the trunk sewers from an agricultural property, and that was permitted because there was no other reasonable way to connect that property to the district sewer, and they were currently using a leach field near an agricultural property. So that was the significant items there. In the staff report, the chlorine contact chamber is still giving problems. They've gone through the controls, and they're still working that. Tony Ferrara says that the thing is haunted, but the staff is taking all diligent effort to try to get that online properly and under control. They're kind of, they've been defeating some of the automatic controls with manual efforts. And it basically involves chlorine injection into the process. So anyway, that's being worked on. That's all that I have. Bill?
Our fire meeting was canceled for yesterday, and that's about the end of that report.
Okay, Vern?
Yes, I see under the agenda that they've got me down here for the RAC, Water Regional Board there, and I am not on that committee, so that's on here by error. I have not been on it. I don't know who is on it. I think the last person assigned to it a couple of years ago was me, so the RAC still has me down as being on it, I think, because I think that paperwork might be coming to the office with my name on it, which is why this is probably on here by error, but I have not been assigned to this committee, so.
Okay, we'll address that and try to correct that in the future.
You need to talk to your administrative assistant there.
And that I will not be able to make this committee. So.
Director Dean, anything?
Nothing.
As Bill mentioned, the fire committee was canceled last night, so I don't have anything either.
Comment or questions on the reports? Any comment or questions from the public on the reports? Brings us to general manager items for discussion.
President Hill, member of the board, I have just a couple of items. One, I'd also like to recognize Chief Hamp for his work in getting the vehicles removed at Railroad and Highway 1. In addition to that, I'd like to recognize the utility crew because two members of that crew, Dan Silvera and Steve Langseth, were responsible for cleaning up the debris that was down there. If you look, there was a bunch of trash there, and they took care of that earlier this week, and it's a huge improvement, and so I appreciate their efforts in doing that. Another item is that earlier this week, we typically once a month, have the DMV come to our conference room and administer driver license testing. They called this week and canceled that training for this month because we had less than five people signed up. So their new policy apparently is that they're going to require us to have at least five people sign up or they're not going to do the training. So hopefully we'll get back to the people that signed up, get them to sign up next month, and maybe we'll have enough people to get the training conducted here. But just so the members of the public will know, we need a little more participation to be able to continue that service.
Was that not originally set up kind of for seniors and people that would have difficulty getting to San Luis or Santa Maria, which is the other other offices?
Yeah, when I actually took the list to the DMV, and they still referred to it as a service for elderly people. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll test anybody that signs up. You don't
have to test anybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And my last item is that I would like to attend the finance seminar in September put on by the Special District Institute. It's part of my contract is to become certified within 2 years. Great opportunity for me.
Excellent. Very good.
And company for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Any public comment on the report? Hearing none. Board member items for discussion. Barbara?
This is more of a line of an announcement. The Oceano Improvement Association will be holding its annual barbecue this Sunday. $10 for adults, $5 for children at the park, the county park in Oceano. Everybody's welcome. It's always a great time. I don't have any tickets, but I'm sure someone in the audience has tickets. Where's the county park? Down by the lagoon, or
by the duck pond.
By the duck pond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been there every year for many, many years.
No pensions down there, is there?
Please?
There's no pensions down there this year.
We're not cooking pensions this year.
Other items? Board member items? Vern, anything?
I had a question about our fluorescent bulb recycling. Did that ever come to pass that we were a collection station for them? Okay, so people can bring them here. Is it in the office or?
It's in the front office.
We have fluorescent tubes and also battery recycling, and OCSD staff has been making donations.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I remember that was coming up. So it is available in the office. Another fluorescent tubes are hazardous. So it's a hazardous material, and you cannot put it in your trash. You have to dispose of it in another way, and we have a collection station right here in the office.
President Hill, I forgot one thing. I think I forgot to say what time this barbecue is. 11 to 2, is that correct? Yeah, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And that's Sunday?
This Sunday, yes, sir.
Sunday from 11 to 2 at the park. By the duck pond and the airport. I had just a couple items. One, I just kind of expressed my frustration that we haven't received yet from the auditor the audit. I guess talking to the general manager that I hope we'll get the audit within the next few days and the end on, if I'm not mistaken. I hope that he did get that information. We would normally try to get public records requests in a timely manner. I know that the staff has been dealing with the turnover of the general manager, shorthandedness, the audit, and the budget all at once. So it seemed to me this was kind of an unfortunate timing that maybe if we have requests like that, if we're aware of the extra workload on the staff, that we can be somewhat sensitive to that. Another item is lateness of the warrants. For several periods now, the warrants have been late again due to the workload that's on staff. But this is kind of unfair to the board and the public. We've had to postpone addressing the warrants to later meetings. We've had some recusals because of inability to prepare to review the warrants. And for the benefit of the public, whose money it is that the board is spending, we need to have the warrants go out with the board packets. So I hope that we'll make that a priority, and I think we will be making that a priority in the future. The last thing I had was the announcement from the Planning Commission again at a meeting tomorrow that they'll be considering changing the county planning standards to allow increased density in certain areas of the county, including Oceano, to 20 units per acre, which is a fairly significant increase. And after seeing the increased traffic on some of our streets, the narrow streets that we're dealing with, I hope that the Planning Commission is taking all that into consideration and that the growth they're proposing is smart. But whatever your position on that, if you want to address that to the County Planning Commission, they'll be meeting tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors chambers in San Luis Obispo.
Do you have a time on that?
That meeting starts at 8:45. So that's all I had. Any comment or questions from the public? Okay. Hearing none brings us to item 13, consideration of the warrants. Comment or questions from the board?
I move we pay the bill.
B.B. Dewar, the fuel supplier, and those seem to me to be, in discussing this with Vice President Bookout, I thought he may have signed a warrant for a similar amount of money to the one I signed, and I think the one I signed was for bulk fuel delivery because it was a fairly extensive amount.
I believe Director Bookout, or Vice President Bookout, signed the one for bulk fuel because that came to light after you had signed the one for the monthly purchases.
Okay, the monthly purchases then, seemed I kind of reviewed the warrants from the last few times, and it seemed to me that amount was pretty high,
Basically July.
For the full month of July,
and opposed to a two-week period.
And July was, fuel was very expensive for 3 weeks in July. It went down a little bit the last week or two.
Right.
So that's probably why it is.
It just seemed by comparison, if that wasn't the bulk fuel delivery, then by comparison to the other months that I looked at, that seemed high. So maybe we could review the amount on that, just make sure that the billing was correct.
I can do that. I'll do a historical analysis of that invoice, those invoices, last 6 months or a year or something.
Okay, that'd be great. I was just concerned that the billing might not have been correct. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none. It's been moved and seconded then that all the warrants, with the exception of Kirk and Seamus, be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously with one abstain. And then I would look for a motion to approve the Kirk and Seamus.
I move we pay the Kirk and Seamus charges, please.
Second? I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
One abstention.
That's one abstention. I'm sorry. You
abstention
vote.
The second
my,
time.
My announcement
vote
was,
the first time.
Vote the first time, abstention the second time. My announcement was incorrect. Thank you for the correction. So it was the last vote was unanimous. This vote was 4-0 with one abstention.
Did you want a public comment on the Kirk and Seamus?
Is there any executive session tonight? Is there any written communication, Pat?
No, we don't have any for this meeting.
Okay, well, in that case, we're adjourned.